So good to see you tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Before we step into the message for tonight, again, I remind you of Saturday. The service will begin at 10 a.m. We'll have some pre-service music going on as well, but I would encourage you to get here earlier than that. We will be removing, except for our security team, the reserved seating because we have numbers of special guests that are coming in from across the state and from surrounding states. There will be people who are coming, and there are still seats available, so we encourage you to register, and if, as I mentioned Sunday, if financially you're not able to afford that $20 registration fee, get with us, and we'll make sure that that happens. We want you to be here and don't want that to be a reason for you not to be able to come. But Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets and Kyle Searcy are all wonderful men of God. I know them personally. They've been at this for years and are well-known and respected. And they are communicating with both Chuck and Dutch today, and they're both excited and looking forward to being here. And let's have our hearts ready to receive whatever challenge, whatever word the Lord has for us. Because we all want to keep improving, right? We want to take territory and advance the kingdom. Tonight, I want to step back into the message I began on Sunday morning, how to battle using a prophetic word. How to battle using a prophetic word. And we're just going to look at that initial passage one more time tonight before I step into some practical teaching about this. We went through a number of scriptures Sunday morning to kind of lay some groundwork for this idea, this truth actually. It's grounded in this scripture, 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul, the apostle, writing to young Timothy, a son in the ministry for Paul, he said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." And he goes on after that talking about having faith and a good conscience and so forth. So the whole idea about this message is when you have been given a prophetic word, what do you do with it? And this scripture tells us that it becomes a weapon in our hand. It's not just something to put on the shelf or stick in the back of your Bible or to file away, but it's really something to keep before you, to pray through it and so forth. We're going to be talking about some of this tonight. And notice that Paul says, "I charge you." This is like there's a mandate behind this, imperative mandate that he has given Timothy. That, in other words, son, with what you're dealing with there, it's imperative that you remember what was prophesied over you. Because those prophecies that were made concerning you, you are to use those and wage war with them. In other words, there is an anointing on that word in the realm of the Spirit that impacts and affects outcome in your life. So as I shared Sunday, the Lord kind of, he tweaked me pretty good about this. Because through the years, I've been given a number of prophetic words, and we have a lot of them written down. We have files about them. But I was really corrected to become more diligent and using those words. And I shared specifically Sunday about the word I was given a few years back that we released at Grace House about declaring God to be the restorer of lost treasures, how that was confirmed, and the miracles that we saw happening. We had a cluster of those happening for some time after that. But I realized that the Lord didn't tell me just to declare it that one time or that short season and forget it. So after last week, I've gone back to declaring that and already seen some things materialize and coming forth. Now, tonight, I want to share with you just a few practical steps to take in being able to use your prophetic words as weapons in the realm of the Spirit. The first one is simply this. You first have to discern the prophecy. Just because somebody gives you a word and says it's a word from the Lord doesn't mean it is from the Lord. Now, I'm not schooling you to be paranoid or even overly cautious, but I am encouraging you to be discerning. Don't have so many walls up to it that you begin to despise the prophetic. We talked about that Sunday, right? We are to embrace the prophetic, not despise it. We are commanded to not despise prophecies. You shouldn't have contempt for prophecies. But you do need to discern prophecies. You don't want to deny it. You don't want to despise it. You want to discern it. And so that's the first step. Well, how do you do that? Well, the first place you start with a prophetic word is you compare it to the written word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know the book of God, the Holy Bible, has been breathed on by God himself. It is the word of God authored by the Holy Spirit himself. As he moved on men of old, they recorded what the Lord wanted recorded. There is inspiration on it. Now, if someone gives you a prophetic word that's contrary to the written word, your discernment should immediately discard the prophetic word. If you ever have to choose between a prophetic word and something, and let me add this. If there is in the written word of God a clear violation of Scripture by that prophetic word, then you discard it. Now, there may be things in Scripture that there would be a various interpretations of Scripture. But you have to discern all those things as well. But first thing, what does the written word say? Does this word violate the written word in any way? And if it doesn't, then does my spirit bear witness that this word is for me? Now, I will tell you, I think sometimes we can miss it when we're getting a word. Sometimes people may be getting a word they think for the whole congregation when really it may be for them. Sometimes they may be getting a word and think it's for everybody and know it's for someone specifically. And there may be times that someone's getting a word and it is for a wider audience. But there should be discernment applied. Now I'm talking more about when you get a word and release in it, you go through those things. But when you're receiving the word, it's fine to say, Lord, is this for me? The Holy Spirit will bear witness. And if you've been given many prophetic words in the past that have been from the Lord, you've probably had those times that as soon as that word was spoken, it confirmed for you something that you were already praying about. Or you've already got one or two other words about it. And I love that when that's happening in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. So that's another way the Lord can assist you in being able to confidently receive a word from him prophetically. So that's important. Is it consistent with the written word? Does my spirit bear witness with it? And another thing is, if you're being given a word and then somebody wants to begin to interpret that word, you may have to do some discerning there. I know I have missed it in the past when I'm getting something for someone, and I had to learn this early on. It's best just to say what you hear the Lord saying and trying to look at a circumstance and trying to adjust, well, I think I know what that means. You let that person decide what it means for them. By and large, and I'm not. If you do have some interpretive ideas, let them know that hey, these are my ideas of what that might mean. But you need to pray about that. So discern the prophecy. Why is that important? Because you don't want to put your faith in something that wasn't birthed by the Holy Spirit. You don't want to get into agreement with something that may not be God's will for your life. But if it's consistent with the written word, doesn't violate scripture, and your spirit bears witness, then you know, heart door open, receive. Now, we have to be careful also when it comes to, sometimes there may be a word that comes forth that's corrective in nature. And that can happen. And we may not like it. And so that's not God. But we have to remember, because I've had this happen as well at times, that just doesn't make sense to me. Well, in about 6 months it did. And if I'd been praying for that 6 months, I would have been in a lot better place when I had to deal with what that prophecy was speaking about. So these are just practical things you need to consider, you need to think about, but we need to discern. Because a lot of times, if there's a word that challenges us or corrects us somewhat, we can be resistant. That's our default mechanism. But remember, whom the Father loves, He corrects. So we have to be careful that we are not viewing, we're not confusing correction with opposition. In other words, this is from the enemy. So discern the prophecy. The second step or to take would be possess the promise it contains. A prophetic word usually has a promise in it in some way that will encourage you, that edifies you, comforts you. At times there may be a warning or a challenge or a correction that can come. But possess the promise that it contains. And what do I mean by that? Well, to realize that this is a word from the Lord, it's not just a suggestion for you to think about. Now, you should discern it, pray about, make sure it's from the Lord, but possess it, receive it. This is mine. Like, if this is from the Lord, like you would a legal document. This has got some authority in it because of where it originated. You want to possess that word and claim it as being yours, given you from the Lord. One thing that can help you is to write your prophetic words down or journal it. And of course, in today, a lot of times, if somebody's about to give me a word, I'll say, just a moment, turn on my recorder. And then you have a recording of it. You can go back and listen to it. Because a lot of times when you go back and listen to it, you're hearing things you didn't hear the first time through. And the fifth time through, you're gaining even more ground. So that's part of possessing it. You know, so it becomes part of your prayer, part of your thought grid, and so forth. Possess that promise. You remember when Paul, we're told in Acts 19:21, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now notice what he said. It says he purposed in the Spirit. That tells me that Paul felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit concerning the direction that this next journey would take. He's going to go to Jerusalem. And he said that he must go to Rome. And all along the way, he even had very accurate prophetic people tell him, you know, don't go to Jerusalem. Bad things wait on you there. But he had already had this purpose prompting in his spirit. And then he ends up in Jerusalem, gets in trouble, gets thrown in the can, and then finds out there's 40 guys that are going to lay wait and kill him. They've taken a vow, we're not going to eat until we kill Paul. And so they slipped him out past that. But in the middle of that, in Acts 23:11, Jesus appears to Paul and confirms to him that, let me just read it. He said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Jesus himself told him, you must bear witness at Rome. Well, that tells me back in earlier when he purposed in his spirit, he was hearing from the Holy Spirit. Because now Jesus is saying, no, you've got to end up in Rome. Well, on the way to Rome, guess what happens? They're on a ship, and they get in a fierce storm, and it's just certain everybody's going to be wiped out. And then an angel appears to Paul and assures them that if they'll just do what Paul tells them, that everyone will survive. They had to run the ship aground, and they all survived. But Paul, because he possessed that word, it saved a whole shipload of folks. So that this is what I'm talking about, possessing the promise that it contains. That's where the weaponry comes in. Well, my circumstances is saying one thing, but that word I've got says another thing. So I'm going to use this word as a sword to cut through this season of difficulty and this terrible circumstance, believing that it will be even as the Lord has said. That's possessing the promise it contains. Years ago, Mickey and I were in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We've had a lot of things happen to us in Colorado through the years. And we were at a conference. Actually, Dutch was one of the speakers, I think, at this conference. And Harry Jackson was there. I think Dutch may have been there. Yes, because we were there visiting with Dutch. And Bishop Harry Jackson, who's since gone to be with the Lord, was there. He didn't know us from Adam. And during the ministry time, we go up, and he begins to prophesy. And he prophesies over Mickey. He says, I see you ministering to a lot of young women, and just God really using you in a powerful way, helping them. And he prophesied over me. He said, you will stand before governors and rulers. There's a governmental anointing on your life. The Lord's going to open doors for you. And you will stand before these rulers and governors. And the Lord will use you. Well, we hid that in our heart because we really sensed, of course, it was very encouraging. And then as the years unfolded, and Mickey's, through her counseling ministry, she has ministered to hundreds of people, and many of them young women in very stressful times in their life, and God has used her and still continues to do that. And also since that time, because that was in our heart, when I would get an invitation like, can you go to this meeting? The governor's going to be there. Well, I've got a word that God's going to use me. So I've been able to lay hands on a governor in our state, not our current governor, but previously governors that we've had in our state, been able to be in Bible study in the governor's office. I had the opportunity to stand before our state legislature and share a devotional from the word and then pray over our legislature. I've been able to have a private meeting with the prime minister of the nation of Grenada, and the Lord gave me a three-tiered prophetic word that I told him I had a word from the Lord to him, and he allowed me to minister to him and release that word to him and pray with him. I was able to take a key from the city of Florence and give it to him on behalf of our city. And it's been such an honor to be able to step into those kind of situations and minister in that way, but it was prophesied. And that's kind of like the Lord putting a stick of firewood on the fire to burn in that area. Because when you got a prophetic word, that makes your antenna become sensitive to the promise that's in that word or the situation that word is about. And the Holy Spirit can bring things to your remembrance to help you in those situations. But that's like a weapon in our hand. Now, a third practical step is to begin to pray it and declare it. That is, you take the word that you've been given and you pray into it. And then you pray through it. And you pray from it. So that it's kind of like you're planting the seed of that word into your future. You're planting it into the atmosphere. You're declaring it. Even in you declaring it outwardly, you're also declaring it over yourself. And all of us have had times when we just had to kind of preach ourselves up, right? Have you ever done that? Just stand in front of the mirror and just have to preach yourself up. And you can take one of your prophecies. Lord, this situation I'm in is so different than this word that I've been given. But Lord, you're the God who knows all. You knew the future when you gave me this word. You weren't wrong. I'm choosing to believe what you saw is right. What you said is right. So I'm going to say what you say about my future and not what my circumstances are saying. Or not what those folks at the office are saying. Or in the classroom is saying. Or even what people in my family might say. Or the people I work with, what they say. Lord, I'm going to believe what you say about my future instead of what the enemy is trying to convince me concerning my future. Because I guarantee you, between you and the fulfillment of that word that God has given you, I got on this Sunday a good bit, you will be tested. There's going to be a war to wage. There's going to be a battle to fight. And in the middle of that, it can be a wilderness season. And what God's wanting to do, he's wanting to get those rocks and stumps out of your life, those hard places out of your heart, those lies you believed, he's wanting to deal with them. He's wanting to deal with the fear in your life. He's wanting to deal with all the obstacles that stand in the way of that word coming forth. So it's not a passive thing like you put on the shelf, but you receive it, you begin to pray it, you begin to declare it, and God's going to deal with you in the middle of all of that to bring it about. He watches over his word to perform it. And I know that's speaking about the written word, but I think you can take that principle to the word the Lord gives you. Because Paul told Timothy, the prophecies concerning you. It was a personal word that had been prophesied over his life. So be careful that you're not, you don't too easily dismiss things that people may share with you. Sometimes you may get a word like, well, I already know that. Well, reckon the Lord knows you think you already know that? Might just be something you hadn't seen in that. Right? It's what you know. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts sometimes. So don't be dismissive. I've seen people, their life rocked with a single word. One time it's the word poodle. And I saw a young lady have a meltdown. And the only word I got was poodle. But she had been praying for a part at the college she attended. She was trying to get on the drama team. They were doing this theatrical production. And she desperately wanted the role of the poodle in the play. Well, I thought, this is silly. But I knew it was the Lord. And I said, all I'm hearing is the word poodle. Woo! You know, she has the meltdown. She felt, because she knew that's what was on her heart. It meant God loved her. God knew that was important to her. So I don't know if she was barking 2 weeks after that or not as the poodle. But it blessed her. So don't be dismissive if it seems just a small thing. Well, they might know that. That doesn't make sense. You've got to trust God that he knows what it means. And if he's wanting you to share that with someone, that you can trust the Holy Spirit, if they're a believer, trust the Holy Spirit in them, that they'll be able to receive that and use it. Begin to pray it and declare it when you have a word. That's really, really important. The fourth practical step, and I got to move on here, is act on it in faith. Act on it in faith. Now, I'm not saying that try to make this thing to come to pass. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, for instance, let's say this. Say that you were given a prophetic word. I feel like the Lord is, he's going to use you. And I just see you, and I shared Sunday about a lady who prophesied over me that you'd be going to Africa and Eastern Europe and these different places, and the doors began to open. Well, say the Lord, you get a prophetic word. I see you going with Mark and Robin to Guatemala on a mission trip. And maybe you hadn't thought of it, but you get that prophetic word. And when you hear it, like, well, I just feel like I need to pray about it. You start praying about it. I think that's from the Lord. I think that was a word of encouragement. As I prayed about it, I'm bearing witness. I'm supposed to do that. Well, you don't just sit there expecting your passport to fall out of heaven, right? No, you begin to act on that. You begin to act in a way to prepare yourself for that word to be fulfilled. I'm supposed to go to Guatemala. Well, I'm going to need a passport. I'm going to need a suitcase. I'm going to need a plane ticket. You start doing the things you can do to ready yourself. And I'm not saying you kick the door down to make it happen, but you do the things you can do to position yourself so that when God opens the door, you're on go. So act on it in faith. Sometimes it requires a lot of faith to release a word to someone. You feel like you're getting a word for somebody. And sometimes it takes a lot of faith to receive a word, because maybe it's a lot larger than you ever dreamed, or it's like, well, how could that ever happen? Now, that's usually when the Lord's really saying something, isn't it? Because if it's stuff you can just do without Him, then you might just do that, and you might just get the glory instead of Him. Let me give you an example. Some of you have heard me share this story before, and I'll not go into all the detail about it, but it's just such a stark example in my life to me that I learned something about the prophetic. When I moved to Haleville, Alabama, to become the pastor there at First Baptist Church, still love those people, still love that church, got a lot of friends there. I'd been there just a few days when I got a visit by a couple in the church. They were he was a deacon in the church, and he and his wife came in. But she had a word from the Lord for me. And Sister Sharon sat down. We did some small talk. She said, "Dr. Eddie," that's the way she talked, "the Lord has laid on my heart to tell you He is going to give you a gift of healing." Well, that wasn't on my grid. And I'm just going to tell you this straight like it was. I sat there and she said that. I thought, oh, she's one of those kind. And I smiled and I said, "Well, Sister Sharon, I appreciate that. But if God wants to do that, I'm pretty sure He'll tell me Himself." Prideful and arrogant. But you know what? That little woman came in there and she gave me that word. And we talked, and I was trying to be kind, but it was smug and arrogant. It's just no way I can describe it. Fast forward 3 years. I've gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit recently at that time. I mean, God's removing filters and barriers and just, I probably should have been locked up a few days. The Lord had, I can't tell you the whole story about how I went to Detroit, Michigan. The Lord told me if I'd go, I'd enter into a realm of healing. And by that time, I was becoming open to it. And by that time, I'm desiring everything He has. I get back from this trip. Nothing really happened there as far as I could feel, but I was obedient and I went and I did what I was supposed to do. Came back the very next morning after getting back from that trip, the phone rang at the church and the secretary told me that Sister Sharon was on the telephone and needed to talk to me. "Hello, Dr. Eddie. The Lord spoke," and she had no awareness in the natural of all the stuff that was going on in my life. It was under the radar. I knew what it meant if I went public with it. I mean, I was shifting from being a Baptist pastor. "Dr. Eddie, the Lord," that's the way she said it, "told me this morning, if you would come and pray for me today, I would be healed." I hung up the phone and I looked up. I said, "Lord, I'm about to find out if what you told me is true or not." And I went over to her house. Now, Sharon at that time, well, she's born with spina bifida. At one time, she had a full body cast for over a year. She had not had any feeling in her feet for for over 20 years at the time. And most of the time of the 3 years that I'd been at the church, she had braces on her arms and on her legs, the kind that went from the knees down and from the elbows down. And she went everywhere like this, bowed over. Sometimes she would be laying in bed with severe pain for a month at a time. That was the deal. So when she said, the Lord said, if you would pray for me today, I would be healed. Like, okay, Lord, we're going to find out if this is real or not. Go to her house. I called one of my deacons who had become open to the Spirit and said, hey, I need you to go with me. And we go over to her house. Long story short, sat down, prayed. The Lord gave some words of knowledge. We talked about those. Went all the way back to her childhood, a couple of things that had happened, and prayed about that. And then just prayed simple healing. Lord, just pray in the name of Jesus. Anointed her with oil. Be healed, Sister Sharon. She said, my feet, they're tingling. My feet, they're tingling. Hadn't had any feeling in her feet in over 20 years. Now, it may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if she hadn't had any feeling in her feet in 20 years and we've just prayed for God to heal her and her feet starts tingling, that's a good start, you know? So, and she looks at her husband and says, take these braces off of me. And he unbuckles them. It took just a moment. She got up. She started bending. She started walking around. We all started crying. She threw her hands up. I'm healed. I'm healed. God's healed me. Went over to the door, said, Paul, open that door. He opened the door. She jumped across the threshold. He said, I hadn't been able to do that since I was a little girl. We went out in the driveway and stood there and just rejoiced. And when Pat and I drove out of the driveway, and this is still frozen in my memory, I looked in the rearview mirror, and she was running big circles in the driveway with her hands in the air. But here's the point that ties in with this message. 3 years earlier, she had the courage to obey God and release a word to her pastor, who was an extremely conservative Southern Baptist pastor, in my white shirt and tie and everything. She came in there and she humbly shared what she felt God wanted her to say to me. And you know what? Obviously, I wasn't in a big receptive mode that day. But 3 years later, after God had taken me through an interesting journey to get me to that place, who got the first fruits of that anointing that the Lord released in the area of healing? She did. She had sown the seed by releasing that prophetic word. She acted on it in faith. And when did that start operating in me? When the Lord gave me these words and I did receive them and I began to activate, to step out there and pray and pray for people the way He told me to pray for them. Act on it in faith. The fifth step is stand against opposition from the adversary. I've already touched on this, but it's going to be tested. It is going to be tested. And there may be no evidence, no cracks in the wall that you're about to get your breakthrough. It's going to be tested, and the enemy's going to try to steal that seed, try to get you to turn away from that promise in that word, try to get you to forget that word or wipe your hands of it. It must not have been God. It hadn't come true. That's the reason Paul told Timothy, you take those prophecies and you go to war with them. You go to war with them. Stand against opposition from the adversary that comes against you. There was a young man in Bible school down in Florida. This is years ago. And in his homiletics class, where they're being trained to how to preach. And his professor told him, young man, you need to find a different profession because you're never going to be a preacher. And a lot of us watched his funerals just a few years back on television when they had the service for Dr. Billy Graham, who led millions of people to Christ and whose voice is still filling the airwaves through his recordings. He stood against that opposition. See, the Spirit of God had called him to preach, not some man. And a prophetic word is similar. If it's from the Lord and he's given to you, you stand on that. You stand on that. It's like the little lady had an atheist for a neighbor, and she was constantly just praising the Lord. Anything bad go happen, it didn't matter. She's just going to praise the Lord. She's going to be positive no matter what. Just praise the Lord. Couldn't shake her faith. And she had her window up one day in there praying, Lord, you know I don't have any groceries. You know I don't have any food, but I know you're Jehovah Jireh, and I know you're going to provide for me. Well, an atheist neighbor, the story goes, overheard her and thought, well, I'm gonna show her what's what. So he goes and buys a bag of grocery, comes, sets some on her porch and knocks on the door, then hides around the corner. She comes, she opens up the door, there's a bag of groceries. Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you for these groceries. You are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you honored your word, I thank you. And that atheist neighbor jumps out from around the corner and said, woman, that wasn't God. I went and bought those groceries to prove to you that there's no God. See, here you are with all your praise going on. God didn't do that. I didn't do that. She didn't pay any attention. She said, oh, Lord, thank you so much for these groceries, even if you had to use the devil to deliver them to me. Let's go with her, right? She's motoring down the right road, and that's what we want to do. So you've got to learn to stand against the opposition that comes your way, because it will come. Remember earlier, I talked about the wilderness. The Lord, you know, the trying of your faith, that will work patience. God's, when you're going through those seasons, you're doing more than waiting. You need to be warring, but you also need to be realizing God's doing something inside you through that season that goes along with him fulfilling that word. I really believe that. Now, let's talk about one more. The last one would be to steward the prophecy. Sometimes this waging warfare with the word's a long-time commitment. I mentioned Joseph Sunday, 20 years. David getting a word for Samuel in 20 years before he wears the crown. But kept that word. To be able to steward well the word that the Lord gives you. And again, I would encourage you to journal down your prophetic words, revisit them regularly, pray through them, remember them, rehearse them. Make them part of your prayer in the sense of, this is what the Lord says my future is going to look like, so I'm going to follow that outline. I'm going to pray into that. I'm going to declare what God told me back here when he was looking up there. I'm going to agree with him in bringing that forth. And that's part of stewarding well that word. Returning to it. Reminding yourself of it, revisiting it. I love Isaiah 55, where it talks about how the Lord's ways are different than our ways. It's, you know, higher than our ways. I also love Isaiah 55 that tells us that what I call the power of the returned word. He said that my word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it forth. Now, for sure, that's a written word. But I would suggest that in addition to that, when you've been given a prophetic word and you have that certainty inside of it, I've heard that was from the Lord. He's confirmed it. That there, you're waiting on that word to be fulfilled. Part of that fulfillment is you are returning it to the Lord. Not that he's forgotten it, but that's your faith. The power of the return word. Because when you're saying it and when you're praying it, it's like you're planting the seeds of that word for it to come forth. So be a good steward of the prophecy. Again, take it off the shelf. Don't just leave it in the back of your Bible. Get it in your heart, include it in your prayers, and remember it, specifically when you're facing opposition that's contrary to what that word says. Use it to war your way through. And I love what the angel told Mary, what Mary told the angel in Luke's gospel. Be it done unto me according to your word. Now let me close with this as our worship team comes. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? I want to remind you that the plans Father has for you, they are good. The future He has for you is filled with hope. His plans are to prosper you, to bless you. And there's a lot of warfare around those words you've been given about all that God's going to do for you. Just clear things out of your heart and your mind that's interfering with you being able to really embrace and possess the promise in those words. Thank God anew and afresh for that. Maybe it's a specific word you're thinking about right now that you were given. Just thank God for it anew and afresh. Lord, thank you for that word. Oh, when it came, I so needed it. I haven't forgotten it. And my heart, I want to build faith in my heart. I want my expectation to always be present, to expect that word to come forth. Thank you for the fact that you, Lord, when you deliver a word to someone, you back it up. So I'm choosing to say yes to what you've told me. Some of you may have words concerning one of your children or your marriage or your finances or your health. Wage warfare. Take those promises in the written word. Take those prophetic words. Oh, all of that's ammo that you're to use in the battle you're in. Maybe tonight you're in that battle. Use the ammo God's given you. Be encouraged tonight. The purpose of that prophetic word is to encourage, to edify, to build you up, to comfort you, to help you. Father, I pray tonight across this room that we would be warriors who know how to wield the sword of the Spirit and know how to wage war with the prophecy spoken over our lives. Thank you for encouraging words that you deliver us, that you deliver to us, Lord, through various people in various ways. Thank you for each and every one of them that's been given us. Thank you that we were on your heart so much that you laid us on someone else's heart to share a word. And Lord, help us to embrace those messages from you. And thank you for the prophetic words that are in the written word. Thank you that you're coming again, Lord Jesus. Thank you that a new heaven and a new earth await us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we'll be reunited with our loved ones who died in the Lord. Thank you that our faith will become sight. Thank you that you're for us and not against us. Glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me? Our prayer team members are going to be up here. Perhaps you're here and you need someone to pray with you tonight. Well, we don't want you to leave without having that opportunity. So our prayer teams, if you'll come on up right now and just be here, I would encourage you before you go, if you're needing that word of encouragement or needing someone to agree with you in prayer, or you have a specific prayer need, or perhaps God's just dealing with you, you're not sure if you're saved or not, or I need to be baptized, or I want someone to pray with me about my sickness. It can be so many things. We're here to pray for you, to love you with the love of the Lord Jesus. And before we dismiss, I'm going to have Mickey dismiss us, but she also has an announcement.
In case some of you don't know, we have prophetic teams here who meet with people on Sunday mornings for about 15 minutes. If you would like for a team to pray over you, you fill out that connection card and write us that note. You want a prophetic prayer appointment. They pray all week over your name and write down what they hear from the Lord for you and meet with you and give you that. And I hear very powerful results from that. So just know that that's a part of the ministry of our church. So, Lord, we thank you so much that you care about each one of us individually. You know what you've created us for. You know, Lord, what you need to do in our life to get us to that place. We thank you for words of prophecy. We thank you for your written word. We thank you for your Spirit who encourages us, who bears witness with those words and with your written word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your love for us and your faithfulness to us. That you see us right where we are and you come to us to minister to us, Lord. So tonight I pray over everyone in this room who has a word that maybe has gotten laid aside and you've reminded them of that tonight. So I just pray that your Spirit would breathe the life on what you have said. And Lord, for those who need to hear from you, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we invite you tonight to do just that, to speak to hearts today, tonight, in the weeks to come, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Our teams are up here to pray for you, and you're dismissed when you are finished with getting prayer or ministering to each other.
Amazing grace, how sweet.